Gracious God, we thank you, we praise you for your word. And Lord, as we look to your word today, we ask that you guide us and lead us by the power of your holy hand. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture reading is Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12. Please stand in honor of God's word. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, how are we robbing you? In your tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, said the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you an overflowing blessing. I will rebuke the locust for you so that it will not destroy the produce of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not be barren, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will count you happy, for you will be a land of delight, says the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today we come to the last of the minor prophets. It's been a long journey to get here, but we're finally at the last minor prophet, Malachi. Malachi means my messenger, and his prophecy took place after the Israelites had returned from Babylonian exile. Jerusalem was rebuilt and the temple was restored. But as in the past, the people fell back into old ways. Malachi confronts the people with their sin through a dialogue between a righteous God and his hardened people. Adrian Rogers said, what if you opened your church bulletin next Sunday morning and saw this across the top? Warning, product recall, worthless worship. When the prophet Malachi put down his pen after writing the last book of the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit fell silent for 400 years. A look at what worship had become in Malachi's day may tell us why. First of all, they had grown skeptical of God's love. Because the government was corrupt and the economy was poor, the Israelites assumed that God didn't love them anymore, and so why should they love God? How wrong they were, as God loves all people whom he has created. Secondly, they dishonored God's name. They were bringing less than their best for offerings. God's law required that only perfect animals be offered to God for a sacrifice in worship. And they were bringing injured, crippled, or diseased animals and then offering them as sacrifice. Basically, they were giving God the leftovers, and God was not pleased with their half-hearted worship. Thirdly, the priests were leading the people astray by not honoring God's name. They allowed people to cheat on their vows. They despised the privilege of being priest. They turned away from God's law. They were not applying God's law to everyday living. They allowed influential and favored people to break the law. The Lord holds the leadership to a standard of living so as not to lead God's people astray. And they were definitely leading God's people astray. Fourthly, the people were being unfaithful. Men were marrying pagan women who worshiped idols. They were breaking the covenant of marriage to which God was a witness. Divorce was common, occurring for no reason other than a desire to change. And children were not being brought up in godly ways. After committing these sins, they then brought their offerings to the Lord and wept at the altar, wondering why God refused to accept their offering. The Lord expected his people to be, that he be the Lord of all areas of their lives, which included their sexuality, their marriages, and their homes. Next, they were robbing God in their tithes and offerings. The tithing system began during the time of Moses, and people were not giving tithes. Everything that we have is from God, and the tithe is returning 10% back to him. The Lord encouraged the Israelites, "Put me to the test and see how I will throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing upon you." And then they even ask, "What good is it to serve God?" The Lord assures them that those who are faithful to him are his treasured possessions. And the day of the Lord was coming where God would control the future and make everything right. With Malachi's death, the voice of the prophets would be silent for 400 years. Then would come the prophet, John the Baptist, proclaiming the coming of Christ. So what does this book say to you and me? Well, let's look at these areas where they kind of faltered, and let's see where we may falter as well. First, God loves us immensely. We can never doubt the love of God. He loves us so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for all of our sins. We were talking about this in the women's Bible study just this morning, this unbelievable sacrifice. Because, you know, they used to sacrifice animals, and we were talking about what a bloody mess that would be in worship. And Christ was the ultimate sacrifice. And what Christ went through for you and me, that he wipes out all of our sins, our past, our present, and our future, because God loves us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him might have eternal life, forgiveness of sins. Secondly, God is not pleased with half-hearted worship. He wants our full attention. You know, Scripture talks about in Revelation about lukewarm Christians. You know, do you remember what God said he would do to them? Anybody remember Revelation? Spit them out, vomit them out. That's how repulsive it is for God when we're just kind of lukewarm. You know, we kind of straddle the fence. No enthusiasm. You know, we think, oh, gosh, got to go to church again today. I don't know how many of you felt that way when you got up this morning. Hopefully not. Hopefully you weren't saying, oh, wonder what we got to do at church this week. Oh, they want me to be on this committee and that committee. And, oh, we got to get this there and we got this. And, you know, if we come with that kind of a half-hearted worship, it doesn't really please God. Because that's what they were doing. They were coming with this half-hearted devotion to the Lord. When we come to worship, we should be excited to be in the house of God. We should look forward to Sunday morning to be able to worship Almighty God, to sing his praises, to hear his word, to listen to what he's saying to us, and be able to go back out for the rest of the week. It's kind of like the fueling station, you know? You get your tank full, and then you go out for the rest of the week to do his work and his ministry. Thirdly, leaders in the church are called to live lives so as not to lead people astray. And that includes all leaders, not just the preacher. Do you know when in the Peace USA, when deacons, elders, and pastors are ordained, did you know that we all say the same ordination vows? How many of you knew that? There's only a difference in the last question. And that last question pertains to, will you be a faithful deacon? Will you be a faithful elder? And in the question to the pastor. But all of the other ordination vows are the same. And so God holds up those that are ordained in the church to never lead the people astray. Not just the pastors, but the elders and the deacons, the ordained folks in the church, are called to a higher level as we lead God's people. Fourthly, we're called to be faithful to the Lord in all areas of our lives, in our sexuality, living lives that are pleasing to Him, in marriages, in homes. You know, we are living in a world today that is totally confusing. Amen to that? Totally confusing. We are totally confused over sexuality and gender. You know, now you're not a male or a female. We are just totally, totally confused and hearing so many mixed messages. And we're called to turn to God's word. It isn't about what's popular in society. It's about God's word, what his scriptures tell us. Marriage is between a husband and a wife. Marriage is to be held with the greatest esteem. And divorce is only a totally last resort. Children are to be brought up in godly homes where the scriptures are taught and children are learning about the Lord. The home is the base. You can't get everything on Sunday morning, but parents, godly parents, should be teaching their children about Jesus, praying with them. Teaching, reading God's word in homes. We so desperately need this today because there's so many messages that kids are getting from our culture that is against what Scripture tells us. Fifth, we're called to be faithful in our finances, trusting the Lord with what we have. Because you know what? It's all from him anyways. We may say, well, you know, I worked really, really hard for all that I got. Well, you may have worked very, very hard for all that you got. But God gave you the energy to work. He gave you the job. He gave you the position. He gave you a lifetime to be able to earn all that you got. He gives you the wisdom, the brains to be able to accomplish what you need to do in your work. But ultimately, it all belongs to him. And giving 10% back is a small, small fraction of honoring him. 10% is really not a whole lot when you think of all that he has given us. I love the story of the rich man who was near death, and he was grieved because he had worked so hard for his money, and he wanted to be able to take it with him to heaven. So he began to pray that he might be able to take some of his wealth with him. An angel hears his plea and appears to him, sorry, but you can't take your wealth with you. The man implores the angel to speak to God to see if he might bend the rules. The man continues to pray that his wealth could follow him. The angel reappears and informs the man that God has decided to allow him to take one suitcase with him. Overjoyed, the man gathers his largest suitcase and fills it with pure gold bars and places it beside his bed. Soon afterward, the man dies and shows up at the gates of heaven to greet St. Peter. And St. Peter, seeing the suitcase, says, "Hold on, you can't bring that in here." But the man explains to St. Peter that he has permission and asks him to verify his story with the Lord. And sure enough, St. Peter checks and comes back saying, "You're right. You're allowed one carry-on bag. But I'm supposed to check its contents before letting it through." St. Peter opens the suitcase to inspect the worldly items that the man found too precious to leave behind and exclaims, "You brought pavement? You know, the streets of gold. Took you all a little while to grasp that. But, you know, when you think about it, you know how much we hoard what we have here. When look at what we're going to get when we get to heaven. We're going to be walking on streets of gold. We don't need to carry it with us. And if anything, we can be a tremendous blessing to people here on this earth. You know, our money can be used to further God's kingdom. That's what he intends for our money to do. And he gives us 90% to live on, to do whatever we want. He doesn't say, "You got to do this, this, and this with the 90%. He only says, "Give me the 10 and watch how I'll bless the 90%. And those of you that tithe, and I know this is a very, very generous congregation, and I know there are tithers out there. And I remember Jim Mitchell standing here giving a minute for mission, and I've shared this story before. I remember sitting right there in the choir looking down at Jim Mitchell, and I saw him at Lions Club the other night, and I said, I still can remember that. Because that was the turning point for me to start tithing. And I remember him standing here saying, it was not a good year on the farm. And we weren't sure how we were going to make it or what we were going to do. But we still tithed. And God blessed us. I still remember him standing here. I keep saying he was in a green suit. He tells me he never owned a green suit. But in any case, I remember him standing here very clearly sharing that. And if I asked any of you here today who tithe to stand up here, it's about the joy that you have in giving it away. There's a joy. It's not a drudgery. Oh, God wants 10%. No, it's like God wants to. And I know people that will give beyond 10% because they love to give. Because the benefits are literally out of this world. One day, the reward will be tremendously great when you see what your money has done for the kingdom of God and how God will bless you. That doesn't mean you give 10%, God's going to make you rich. That's not the idea. The idea is that God will supply your need and he will make you rich spiritually inside. Not that you got this money growing in the bank. That's not what tithing's about. It's all about the Lord. And the blessing that he wants to give to us as we respond in gratitude for what he has done for us. And then we're called to be faithful to the end. And when we fail in any of these areas, we have Jesus to turn to repent, to turn around our lives. In the midst of this book, at the beginning of chapter 3, Malachi refers to Jesus' coming. The process of refining metals is shared. And the raw metal, whenever a refiner takes care of metals and refines it, the raw metal is heated with fire until it melts. And the impurities separate from it and rise to the surface. They are skimmed off, leaving the pure metal. And without this heating and melting, there could be no purifying. And as the impurities are skimmed off the top, the reflection of the worker appears in the smooth, pure surface. And the scriptures there in Malachi tells us that Jesus is the refiner's fire. As we're purified by him, as we confess our sinfulness to him, and he takes us, and he purifies us. And sometimes he has to really refine us to get us to do what he's calling us to do. But what happens in the end is his reflection in our lives will become more and more apparent to all those around us. Much like that metal, and whenever the worker sees his face. See, we are in the fire, and he's refining us, and he's helping us to become more and more like him. And then we reflect him. The Lord repeatedly tells his people Israel to return to him. And he will return to them. And he calls us in the same way when we have failed him, when we mess up, to return to him. In the days of the country store, a little boy used to accompany his mother when she went shopping. The storekeeper always said, "Take a handful of candy, son." But the boy never would. The storekeeper would reach into the box and give him a handful. One day his mother asked him, "Why is it when he asks you to take a handful, you never do?" And the boy replied, "Because his hands are bigger than mine." And you know what? Do you realize the blessings of God Almighty? How big his blessings are that he wants to just hand down to us as we stay faithful to him. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you. We praise you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for this passage from Malachi, Lord. And as we reflect upon what the Israelites didn't do correctly, Lord, we can see that oftentimes we fall into the same kind of pattern. We question maybe your love for us. Sometimes we come to worship with a pretty somber, half-hearted attitude. You call your leaders to live lives that are honoring of you and not let people go astray by their example. And at times, Lord, leaders fail. And we see the impact. You call us to be faithful in all areas of our lives and our sexuality and in marriages and homes. And Lord, we know we fail in that area as well. And you call us to be faithful with our finances, trusting you and with a tithe. And yet, Lord, there are times when we doubt, we're unsure, should we, shouldn't we? We're doubtful of what you could possibly do if we gave 10% or more. You call us to be faithful to the very end. And we thank you that Jesus Christ is a refiner's fire in our lives. That when we do fail you, you seek to refine us over and over and over again through your forgiving grace, and that we might be a true reflection of Jesus. Thank you for your incredible blessings that you pour down upon us as we remain faithful to you. Help us each day, Lord, to live with gratitude and live to please you in all areas of our lives. For we ask and pray this in Jesus' name.